We all said, amen. All right, guys, let's get right into the word. I'm going to be talking about supernatural anointing for 3 weeks here. And it hit me a few weeks ago, a month or so ago. I thought, man, I want to talk about the anointing of God, the anointing that's on your life. So as a pastor, my job is to equip people for that particular ministry calling in their life. Now, I don't know what that is, particularly for you. That's between you and God. But as a pastor, my ministry, my anointing is to bring an awareness to God's anointing on your life for your ministry. So as I'm teaching about supernatural anointing, I don't know what it is that your ministry, what it is that you're called to do, but I believe you're anointed to do it. And then in tapping into that anointing, you're going to experience something like never before. Hearing the word supernatural, and I break it down, I think it's his super, your natural. When you put those two together, you get supernatural. When you look at the Old Testament, you see that God, there's people that are waiting for God. They're waiting on God. And you see in the New Testament, God saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to go. So we're living in the New Testament age now where we see in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, that he says, therefore, go. He's given us the green light to go. And so there's our natural. Guys, if you want to see faith work, then you've got to work your faith. So in those moments, you've got to step out in the natural to see his super being placed on that natural, becoming supernatural. That's what this is about here this morning. So let's say, for instance, your ministry. This is an odd ministry for some of you in this room. But what if it's a spirit, a supernatural, spiritual moment where you've got to recognize, hey, you know what? I'm called to break the spirit of poverty on people's lives. The spirit of poverty. Some of you may not understand what I'm talking about, but if you dive into the Word of God, you would discover there's a lot of supernatural and also spiritual things of this world here on this earth right now that we've got to combat against. Well, one of those things is a spirit of poverty. And with that spirit of poverty, maybe you've got the anointing to come in and help people through this process. Now, some of you that are watching or here in this room, you may say, I have no idea what he's talking about, the spirit of poverty. Well, guess what? Probably more than likely, that's not your calling. And there you go. Okay, so there's your answer. But some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been equipped to do it. And when you've been equipped to do it, you need the anointing of God to help you through it and to do it, to see it through. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, I see Pastor Stephen up here worshiping. I see all the ones, Jennifer and Caroline. I see everyone up here ministering and worshiping God. They have an anointing on their life for this ministry. They have an anointing on their life. They are able to usher other people in to this worship mentality. Because this is not something that you just ignore. Otherwise, we're just doing things in the natural. You need God in everything you do. You want God in everything you do. Without him, you're just walking around. And guess what? Expectations placed upon you, you're going to fail. But when God comes in, he supersedes all of these expectations. The supernatural takes place, and people have to step back and go, you've been in the presence of something I've never seen before. You're separated from this world. You're separated from the things of this world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Guys, do you know that the enemy is terrified that you'll truly realize that you are the light of the world? I mean, let me say it again. The enemy is terrified that you will truly realize that you're the light of the world. And you'll become that city. You'll become that city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You know, Satan's whole goal is for us to get our eyes off of who we are in the spirit and get us walking after the flesh. We can't allow this to take place. Then we miss out on the things of God. We miss out on seeing the supernatural. We miss out on the moments to realize that God is real. God wants to be there. He wants to show up. He wants to come over and consume those individuals with his love, his compassion. That's what it's about. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So if you see flesh and frustration in your life, stop and ask, where are my eyes? What are you thinking about? What do I have my eyes set upon? You know, some of you may say, well, I don't know who I am in the Spirit. Well, let me say something. How can you get free from fear and be who God's calling you to be when you don't even know who you are in the Spirit? Now, that may come across you, say, Josh, say that one more time. Because let me help you out with this. You know who you are in the Spirit when you sit in the Spirit and talk to Him. When you're sitting there saying, you know, I'm going to take time apart from my day. Yeah, you're going to ask the question. If you don't spend time with God in the Spirit, then you're going to ask questions of like, who am I? Who am I in the Spirit? God, listen, the Word of God tells us who we are. And let me say it again. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. When you sit in the presence of God, you begin to recognize, hey, I'm a reflection of the things of God. When Moses came off the mountain and he was radiant, he was in the presence of God. In the same manner, when you spend time with God, you become radiant. And you recognize that who you are in the Spirit. You recognize what God intended from the beginning of time till right now. And God has a newness of who you are. That's why Jesus came to preach the gospel that, hey, guess what? You need to be reborn again. Boy, the Pharisees, everyone couldn't understand that. Reborn again, this is not possible. Jesus is saying there is a new birth. There is a newness of who you are in God. And Jesus is showing us this example. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. You know, so many right now are divided by what's happening. So many are divided. The enemy is at work right now in the United States, in the world, trying to create division. Who are you? Who do you stand for? What do you not stand for? Where do you do this? Do you do that? Who do you identify with? What's your identification? Well, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a Christian. I follow what the Word of God says, and that's what I want to be. I want to be a soldier for Christ Jesus. I want to put on my armor of God. I want to walk around upright knowing that I am preaching and teaching the Word of God without excuse, without any type of embarrassment. I mean, I tell you what, this word right here gets me through it. This word helps me to be who God has called me to be. In your spirit, we've been told that we are just like Jesus, that Jesus gave us the example. God doesn't just anoint people. You guys remember the old saying, and I love these phrases. They're a lot of fun because they're all over the place with Christians. But God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. You guys remember that? You know, when I think about this, I think, you know, there's a new way to say it. And this is for us Christians. I'm speaking to Christians here this morning. But my phrase here is God doesn't anoint people who are qualified, but those that are willing to quantify the power of God in their lives. Let me define quantify. Quantify, defined, is to calculate the value of something and express it as a number. Well, I'm a number. I'm one person. And I'm willing to express it. And I'm willing to measure it. I'm willing to say, God, how big, how wide, how deep, God, how big and powerful is your love? How big and powerful is your power? What can I do to express that? How can I be that? So let me say this one more time. God doesn't anoint the qualified. He looks for the ones who are willing to quantify the power of God. He's willing to anoint those people who are saying, here I am, I want more. This is the Elisha moment. These are the moments where Elisha goes, I want double the portion. When Elijah goes, what do you want? He says, I want double the portion. In the same manner that Elijah sits here and says, hey, here's the mantle and hands it over. He hands it over, right over onto Elisha. In that very moment, that's the wake-up call to realize that was Old Testament. Here today, right now, we have been given the mantle of Jesus Christ, the anointing of Jesus Christ to manifest in our lives and to see the newness of God here on this planet. Right now, in wherever circumstance you find yourself, no matter where you are, that's what God's calling you to do and be. This is a wake-up moment for many of us. We've been trying to do things in the natural without the super. We need the super upon us. And that's the anointing of God. There's a presence of God that is needed in this world right now like never before. But it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take a separation from everything of this world. It's going to take moments to say, you know what? I'm going to choose to pray today for hours. And I'm not given a time moment to say, yeah, and it takes 2 hours to hear God's purpose in your life or an anointing upon your life. No, you just pray. You pray until you hear from God. You pray until you know that, hey, this is it. Because many of us, we just quit after 2 minutes of prayer. And that's not going to work. It's going to take some time for us. You know, as I just said, in your spirit, you are just like Jesus. Following his examples, there was many times that Jesus would separate himself. He would separate himself from this world. He would take apart time to just spend with his Father in heaven. We've got to do the exact same thing in our own lives. We need to separate ourselves. When you begin to quantify the power of God, you learn quickly what John 3:30 means. Do you guys, are you familiar with John 3:30? That what? He must increase, I must decrease. When you begin to quantify the power of God, you realize my natural got nothing on his super. And there's those moments where you go, I want that. I'm measuring the power of God. I want to know. I want to be rooted and grounded in the things of God. So some of you may still be asking, what is the anointing? The anointing is to be set apart, to be empowered, to be protected. There's an anointing on your life. There's a protection on your life. There's an anointing to the congregation of God that when people join themselves together, there's a corporate prayer that takes place. There's a corporate unity that when two or more agree, it shall be done. So God is calling us to have an anointing on our lives. But this takes a moment to say, I know what anointing is, and I'm willing to quantify, I'm willing to measure it out so that I can walk in this anointing, that I can see it for myself, that I can walk it, be it, and do it. You know, who gives you this anointing? Well, Jesus is. Jesus is the pioneer for man. And listen, when Jesus said to us, hey, just hang tight. Because of me, the greatest gift of all is going to be placed upon our lives, and that gift is the Holy Spirit. When we tap into the Holy Spirit, when we say, Holy Spirit, here we are, fill me up, overflow. When you're a willing vessel to hold the Holy Spirit, that's the anointing in your life, and it begins to flow. When you are obedient, when you are willing to flow in the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to go over here and do this, you say, all right, I'll go do this. Hey, I want you to go pray for this individual, you go pray. Hey, I want you to call this person up, you call. You know, it takes boldness to do some of these things. We have to fight the enemy. The enemy wants to hold on to us and extinguish that light of that city on a hill. Because I told you earlier, when the enemy will grab a hold of that, he is stealing who you are. He is trapping who you are, and you become to believe a lie. We've got to wake up from these lies from the enemy. We got to wake up and hear the truth of what God calls us to be and do. In John chapter 14, verse 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. One of the biggest lies that Christians want to believe today is that they sit here and they go, well, that was Jesus. But yet Jesus says right here, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. No, some of you sit here and you go, no, that was for them. But that's not true. That's not true at all. Jesus calls us out to be and do what he did. There's no separation from that. Some of us get all caught up. I encourage you to read the Great Commission. I encourage you to see what happened in Acts chapter 2. It didn't stop with 12 disciples. It moved over in a movement of compassion and anointing that the Holy Spirit overflowed and freely flowed through people who were saying, "Here I am, send me." It takes people to say, I want supernatural in my life. I'm not going to sit with the ordained and be comfortable with it. I want something more. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of pathetic sitting on our hands with laziness and just saying, no, that's for them back then. You know, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, that's nonsense. God's saying go. God told us to go. There is no difference or separation in that. The works of Jesus was, his goal was spreading. Now, let me say this real quick before I get into this statement. When I said, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Many people get so caught up into thinking walking on water, raising someone from the dead. Many of you in this room and watching, many of you will never raise anyone from the dead. God may not be calling you to raise someone from the dead. You get so focused on a miracle, a work, a sign of that nature that you just disqualify yourself on the other things. Hey, listen, wake up to where you are. Hey, some of you think big. I could never do that. You guys, you need to focus in on where you are. It could be the smallest of things, but it's a miracle in the small thing that you're doing. It's a work in the small thing that you're doing that could change the lives of many to come. It's an obedience that takes just a split second. Guys, this is important to take hold of. You get all caught up in this idea of the works that Jesus was doing. Do you know what Jesus did the most of? He loved people. He gave people hope. He shared that love without restraint. He gave healing to people just by touch and by words alone. Some of you need to work and operate in just that alone. You know, these very things we're called to do. You know, in John 14, 26, it says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." You don't need to worry. When you become obedient to the things of God, when you're quantifying, when you're measuring the power of God, when you're realizing the depth, the height, all of that, when you're recognizing these things, you'll come into these moments where you hear the power, the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell you everything you need to know. He will remind you of the things of God. You sit here and you think, oh, you go right back to the textbook school moment. You think it's a test. Did I study hard enough? Did I pray hard enough? You know, the test gets put in front of you. The moment of obedience gets put in front of you. And you sit there and you go, and you get real scared. But that's when you got to just relax and you say, you know, it's not by my might. It's by the Holy Spirit. I remember watching back in the day an evangelist, he had a healing anointing on his life to see people get healed. And this reporter asked him and said, "What happens when you don't heal somebody?" He goes, "Well, I never healed anybody to begin with." That is an example of an individual who has quantified the power of God. Someone who was willing to measure it, see it, act upon it, and express it. It is not the person who brings the healing. It is Jesus Christ. You're just an instrument for noble purpose. When you're willing to be that instrument, it flows steadily through you. That anointing on your life, you're able to recognize, it's not me. That was the problem with the sorcerer in Acts. When the sorcerer was like, "I'll pay for that. Can I do those things?" And they're like, "What is wrong with you?" It's the wrong approach. It's this idea of glory upon yourself. Jesus gets the glory. It is all about him. You know, the works that Jesus was doing, you know, that's something that we need to acknowledge. It starts small. It's the spreading of hope, the sharing of love, giving of healing. These very things he's called every one of us to do. You may ask the question, why was I put here on this earth? What was I put on this earth to do? You know, we all sense that there's something beyond the mundane routines in our life. And you will know and be established in this when you begin to walk in the anointing that God's called you to walk in. You're going to wake up to realize, oh, I know what I am supposed to do. It's beyond that. Some of you may say, well, I'm an usher at my church. I'm a greeter at my church. That's fantastic. You were called on a Sunday to serve the church, the multitude. But I gotta disrupt some of your thinking here real quick. That is not your calling. There is a greater calling. Yes, to serve the multitude is fantastic, and that is wonderful. And I'm so thankful for the hospitality team who puts out little cookies in the morning time, all right? But at the same time, there is a greater anointing upon your life that goes beyond that. Some of you, you think it's just your duty. When we ask for people to volunteer in kids' church, you sit here and you go, okay, that's my duty. There is something greater and above than you have ever imagined with an anointing of God upon your life. It doesn't just start and end with church on Sunday morning. That's what I'm getting at here. Yeah, there might be an anointing that you have to greet people at the front door, but it doesn't end on Sunday morning. It goes on throughout the week and the rest of your life, that you are showing people love and compassion everywhere you go, that you have a heart to see people developed from the small to the tall, that you have a calling upon your life like you've never experienced before. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, that Elisha had been chosen by God and anointed by Elijah. Guys, this is that one moment of wake-up call. We have been chosen by God and anointed by Jesus. And it's our time, just like Elisha had to respond to that anointing that Elijah put on his life. This is the same anointing and the same choice that we have to respond to say, we're going to do it. We're going to wake up and we're going to walk in God's supernatural anointing. You know, God calls us out to know this love that surpasses knowledge. We see this in Ephesians chapter 3. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. How funny of a statement that is, right? To know something that surpasses knowledge. That almost sounds impossible. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, to know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge. You know, it's an invitation to know by experience what can't possibly be comprehended. You know, God is inviting us into a place where we experience from the heart measures of love, acceptance, of celebration from a perfect Father that we have no comprehension for. You know, it's deeper and wider than we could ever know. We are the focus. If you would begin to quantify, if you begin to measure how deep, how wide, how high, you would see right then that we are the focus of his love and affection. When you begin to acknowledge that, when you begin to accept that and walk in that, you begin to exude that to other people. And people would begin to see, oh, you know what? God loves me. And all of these other things don't matter. I can be broken from the spirit of poverty. I can be broken from the spirit of offense, from the spirit of anger and resentment. I can be broken from these things, and God can heal me and restore me. Do you guys know that in the sunny, most beautiful days, no one ever recognizes foundations? But when the rain comes, foundations are important. When you see that the rain starts coming, when the storms start coming, you begin to acknowledge foundations. I don't know about you, but it is so important in these days right now that Christians have a solid foundation. That's why he says in Ephesians chapter 3, rooted and established, to know who we are in Christ Jesus, that when these rains are coming, in these moments of heartache and hardship, that we wake up to who we are in Christ Jesus, rooted and grounded. So that why? So that we would know this knowledge, to know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, that we're willing to measure it and express it. I'm challenging our church here this morning to know that knowledge and to express it, that we can be who God's called us to be. It's a true invitation to know by experience. That's what this is about, experience. Do you know, back in the Old Testament, Samson in Judges chapter 15, I love this story. It's so, such a unique story. He was so angry at something that took place. He had a wife, and his father-in-law gave his wife away. And in giving his wife away, he was so angry. You don't really need, it's a story that you don't really tell your children at nighttime. But it's a story you can read on your own. But he decides to take two foxes, tie them together, put a torch on them, and send them through the fields. You know, there's a type and shadow to this. Back in the day, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of death, and there was a lot of destruction. There was a lot of correction. But you know what is happening in the New Testament? We see it in Luke chapter 10 that Jesus sent out disciples. He sent out 72, two by two. He set them on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit, ministering the gospel to people. This is a newness that we get to walk in. This is what I'm saying, that in the Old Testament, everybody was waiting on God to go. But in the New Testament, God's waiting on us to go. He's called us to say, "Here I am, send me." He's telling us in the Great Commission, go, preach the gospel, baptize people. You are a Christian, you are a child of God. You have a foundation that's rooted and grounded and established in that power, and it is now time to act upon it. It is not a time to be separate. It's not a time to choose sides outside of Christianity. You are a Christian. Now it's time to act like a Christian. It's time to usher in and bring revival. It's time to say, "I love you. I don't care about your identification outside of being a Christian. I want to minister to you where you are and what's happening in your life. I want you to see the love that God has for us, to focus in, to recognize how deep, how wide, how wonderful this love is." It's time for us to wake up. You know, the anointing alone can break the yoke of the enemy in our land. We see this in Isaiah chapter 10. The anointing alone can break the yoke of the enemy in our land right now. Guys, the enemy is at foot, and we have to stop him. He's trying to do everything he can to put out our light. We are a city on a hill. We have the answers. We have the answer for COVID. It's the power of Jesus. Everyone wants to talk about this, and then they're ashamed to actually to talk about Jesus with the process. Everyone wants to talk about COVID, and they want to say, "Oh, COVID. We need a vaccine." No, people need to grab a hold of the healing power of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says that by his stripes you are healed. And then it goes, James, if you are sick, come to the elders. They're going to anoint you with oil, lay hands on you. People don't want to lay hands on anybody anymore. People, "Oh, that's weird." Why do they feel like it's weird? Because they don't know the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Because why? They're not willing to find themselves in the position to say, "God, I'm a vessel. Open up, fill me up, and send me out so that I can be the one who lays hands on people and your power flows through me." No one's willing to do that because you're so ashamed and you're scared of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we've been told in John chapter 14, Jesus said, and I read it earlier, that you're going to do works greater than the ones I'm doing right now. But no one's willing to say, "I'm willing." I need people out of Trailhead Church to say, "I'm willing." I need people to put down their position of whether they're a Democrat or a Republican or whatever the label is. You need to wake up to the power of God. You need to put down whatever stance that you're in right now and to say, "I want the power of God." That's going to be the restorer for our nation and this world. It is the power of Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of whether I get my agenda across or not. It is the power of Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to preach this. Nobody wants to say it. Everybody wants to walk in fear. God, it is the power of Jesus Christ. They're using weapons of warfare right now. I'm going to tell you guys, I wear a mask when I'm out in public. When I'm at places and I need to do, I wear a mask. But they're using this as a weapon on commercials with political gain. They're trying to get people to if you're not wearing a mask, you're a bad person. If you're wearing a mask, you're this person. Everybody wants to create some type of identity with this. I'm going to tell you right now, I am a Christ follower, and I will do what the government tells me to do, just like Jesus said, "Give unto Caesar's what is Caesar's." I will do it. Whatever. He paid the tax. He did what was necessary. There's not a problem with this approach. Jesus says that when you're in the land, you know, the government officials, we're to what? Abide by what we're told to do. This is not a matter of stance. I'm a Christian. That is the first and foremost thing that I need to stand up for. God is right in everything. His truth abides above all other truths. His facts are facts above all other facts. I'm telling you, if you grab a hold of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life, guys, the name of Jesus has been committed to us as Christians. The question is do we have the anointing? Do you have the anointing? I pray that may you thirst for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and your ministry so that we will glorify God and fulfill His will by bringing His kingdom here on this earth. We're told to be an instrument to bring His kingdom here on this earth. And how are we going to do that if all we're doing is choosing sides, when the only side we need to be showing and representing is Jesus Christ in all that we do? I'm so over all of this division. It is Jesus Christ who's going to be victorious in the end. I was hiking the Grand Canyon years ago, and I had this young man beside me. We were beat up, tired, coming out of the Grand Canyon. We didn't have much water left. We were exhausted. And he started chanting, "Rapture, rapture." And I looked over at him, and I thought, "You're right, rapture, rapture." Why? Why did we start chanting that? Because we didn't want to walk any further. But you know what? Rapture didn't happen because I'm still here, right? But what happened? We looked at each other and we giggled and we laughed and we said, you know what? It's not by our strength that's going to get us out of this Grand Canyon. We need the power of God. We started praying right there. We prayed that God would give us supernatural strength to get out of that Grand Canyon, that we could get to the top, back to our vehicles and air conditioned with some food and a McDonald's hamburger. That's what I wanted more than anything. But guys, the wake-up call is to acknowledge that where you are in your walk with Jesus Christ, wherever that is, you need to be walking in the anointing, the Holy Spirit, God-given power for us to be an instrument for supernatural purposes. That when people look upon you and they see in the face of danger, in the face of circumstances that are greater than us, that something supernatural takes place. And then they take knowledge of, how do you know this? It's because I know the power of God in my life. I know His love. I'm rooted and grounded and established in this. This is so important. You know, for some of us in this room, we haven't woken up to this yet. But hopefully this next illustration will help you. You know, Reverend Reinhard Bonnke gave this illustration, and it's tremendous. But you're in Graham, North Carolina, and you want to go to Atlanta, Georgia. Do you want to follow a parked car to get there? No, right? Not one of us in this room. If I said, hey, guys, we got to go to Atlanta, Georgia, and you say, well, I don't know really how to get there. Do you think I'm going to point to you a parked car? No, not at all. You need to get in your car, and you need to follow a car that knows how to get there. Yeah. Guys, in the same manifestation, we as Christians, we know how to get to the kingdom of God. We know how to get there. We know what we're doing. We can't be a bunch of parked cars on the side of the street saying that we're going to go somewhere. We're going to heaven, but yet we're not willing to show people how to get there. We're not willing to go to the extremes side of, hey, guess what? I'm obedient to the things of God. I'll do whatever God calls me to do. I'll go to the ends of the earth. I'll go here right now. I don't care the cost. I don't care the time spent. I'll do what God calls me to do. That's what's so beautiful about all the examples of the Old Testament. They give us examples of the things God's called us to do so that we can fulfill those. Guys, it's a wake-up moment. I'll say it again. Your faith works when you work your faith. You need to wake up to this. Wake up to the moment of saying, you know what? I know I'm called to more than what I'm doing right now. And I want His anointing. I'm going to spend time this week seeking after that supernatural anointing in my life. I'm going to continue to preach about this the next few weeks. But today, if there's one thing I want you to understand, is what is the supernatural anointing? And on top of that, how the need of it. The supernatural anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit. And how to walk in it and the purpose of it is the mere fact of just saying, I'm an example of Jesus Christ and the way that he showed me to do and be. In John chapter 14, he tells me that those works that he did, I can do. I can walk in the same manifestation, the same anointing, because the same power that was on him is on us today. It's just a matter of saying, I'm willing. I call out this church to say, I'm willing. I'm willing to be the love and the compassion this world needs, and I'm willing to be different than anyone else. I'm willing to go against the grain right now and be all that God's called me to be. I encourage every one of you that are watching from home that this stirs you up, and you wake up to that call upon your life, and you become doers of his word. I encourage you that this is not your only time that you spend in the Word of God today or this week, that you open it up and you recognize there's so many good things in here. There's so much goodness and truth. You can feed on this all day long. When you wake up into that knowledge, you're going to see an anointing in your life. As you begin to read God's word, you'll see that the following day or that same day that you'll be able to apply that word in that circumstance. God begins to see what you're doing and then opening up the doors for you to actually apply it and use it. Again, foundations, they're not noticed when the sun's out. They're only noticed when the rain's out. Us Christians, we need to be rooted and grounded, and I'm calling us to do it. Hey, I want to pray. And we'll wrap up today and then stay tuned for Miss Christian. But guys, as I pray today, I pray for a supernatural anointing to take place in your living room, right where you are, out here today at the church. Guys, something miraculous is about to take place, and it's going to happen within the believers who are a part of the church. It's going to take place who people are saying, here I am, I'm willing. So I want us to get into a position where we can receive that anointing. And that we want that anointing. So let's pray right now, all right? Let's come into agreement that we're going to be open vessels for the power of the Holy Spirit to operate through. So let's pray. God, I thank you for this time, God, that we have with you this morning. God, to minister your needs. Lord, to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone we encounter. To bring a compassion and a love like never seen before. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you that the needs will be met as we begin to minister the gospel. Lord, I thank you right now for a transformation, anointing, power of the Holy Spirit upon people's lives. God, that the mundane life is forever forgotten. And God, we move forward to an anointing like never seen before. God, I thank you, Lord, that we at Trailhead Church will be a key operator in ushering in the kingdom and the power of God here on this earth. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that we begin to mend the division. Lord, that we begin to operate through healing power, miracles, signs, and wonders here on this earth. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we will not walk in fear. Lord, we will not walk in dismay, but Lord, we will walk in power and strength from above. God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the anointing, gifted power upon everyone's lives in this church and everyone in other churches operating. So, Lord, that people will be restored. Lord, that they will be healed and whole. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will break the bondage of sin on people's lives. Lord, you will break the spirit of poverty on people's lives. Lord, you will break the spirit of offense on people's lives. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. We magnify your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we all said it was done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, again, stick around for Miss Christian. It's going to be